You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
I'm going to come on this radio show someday, but I don't know when.
I don't like none of you mother.
I can't say that.
Okay, good. Coffee, suckers.
Wrestling with History Worldwide, the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, episode number 4, the voice of choice, Bruce Wirt, and Namar Wells. Namar, remember when we used to call you King Magnus? Is that still something that I can call you? Is that a preferred name?
Yes, please.
Is that your preferred nouns?
Yes, please.
The King Magnus, Namar Wells, and episode number 4. So, Namar, last time we were together, we did we started down the road of your top 5 wrestlers of all time, and we only got 2 in: Macho Man Randy Savage and Bobby the Brain Heenan. And so today, I was thinking we would finish your top 5, and then we'd go into my top 5. That sound like a good plan?
Absolutely. And also, we can't forget, I just remembered this and I did not put this on the list, but I can add that in. We also have to remember, if we can fit it in with this show, the list of people that you absolutely hated seeing, because I have strong thoughts on Hillbilly Jim. Strong thoughts on Hillbilly Jim. And you mentioned him. So I can't
That's
wait.
One to of my top 5 worst of all time. I'll run
right.
That down again.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to get to it in this show, but definitely that's something that we should talk about, because and I think that would lead into maybe doing a Hillbilly Jim review, because and just to give you a brief thing, I hated the gimmick. I hated everything about him, except for the look. I said, well, somebody that looks like that it's that tall, he's that big, he should have been called Man Mountain Jim or something like that. And he should have been a giant, you know, one of the lower tiered giant bruisers, like a Big John Studd or an Akeem. I mean, he was their size. He came in and out over the top rope. Surprisingly, you know, they said there was controversy with Big John Studd with Andre going over the top rope, but Hillbilly Jim had actually done that multiple times within, you know, because he was a big guy.
I wonder if he got his oil checked for it.
Ooh. Yeah, wrestlers are disgusting. They lots of fingers in the rear with wrestlers, unfortunately.
Oh, all right, hit my theme music, brother.
American Dream.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation, heard worldwide on VOCNation.com. The Insane Clown Posse.
We can't thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal. Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog. Yo, with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger. God's giving me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans. WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly.
Thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I don't even know how to respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait still.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world,
China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com. Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.
All right, here we go. Wrestling with history. We're doing the top five of all time, both of us. And I think all yours came between 1980 and 1989. That's my guess.
You know it.
I win the prize. Well, number five was Macho Man Randy Savage. Number four, Bobby the Brain Heenan. And before you get to number three, I interrupted you.
No, you're good.
So what was your, so your number three of all time? Can I guess?
Sure. Can I guess? Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor. Good gracious, no.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Never. But right, I do like Stone Cold. I do like Stone Cold, though.
Val Venus.
Absolutely not.
Jeff Hardy.
Never.
Kenny Omega.
Who? I know he's current. I've heard the name. Wait, is Kenny Omega the Japanese guy that fought the little girl?
No. So Kenny Omega is the top star for AEW. He's wrestled a lot in Japan, but he's not Japanese. He's a white guy.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, give it to us. Number three.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So number three is Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas. Tony Atlas, one of the people that I just couldn't stand on the convention circuit when we were on the road.
Yeah. Tony Atlas had a particular affinity towards Bruce, and he would tease you and in a very crude way.
Yes.
And yeah.
He once told me he was going to stick his, never mind.
That's right.
Yeah.
The thing that got me most is
how happily married man, three times.
Four times, five times, six times. You're going to get wives.
Three times.
You got to get a belt for each wife, you know? Oh, man.
Just three, one at each time. For the record out there, but third and final, I got two lovely kids, lovely wife, love my life.
Yeah, his wife, Mary, she's wonderful. His little son, Dustin. Oh, yeah, I heard about Dustin also, Bruce. I can't believe, you know, you would think that, you know, spending all the money that you guys do, sending them to that that private school, and I, you know, I saw that your wife was very upset because they called him Stinky Dustin. And he got really upset about that. Stinky Dustin. We can't have that. We cannot have that. But your daughter's doing fine.
That's right.
Little Gertrude.
That's right. Yeah. Little Gertrude. She's a champ. She actually passed her speech test today.
Yeah.
And her guess the different rabbit. There was like six rabbits. There's one that's different. By the way, you mentioned Mary. And I have to say this because it sticks with me all these years later. I met a Mary in an elevator at a wrestling convention. This is probably like 15 years ago, 14 years ago in California. I was with Bill after. And this woman, right? And listen, let me say this because I don't want to get in any trouble. My wife is the most attractive woman that I've been with, right? Hands down. And probably that I've ever met. Definitely that I've ever met. This woman was probably number two.
Right.
She gave me her phone number on the elevator, and Bill was doing his best to ruin any chance that I had. I mean, you know, the whole Jerry Lewis thing that he does, it was like, I'm trying to get my groove on. I was in between marriages at that point. This woman was a wholesome Christian too, Namar.
Really?
Yes. And we kept in touch for a little while, and then she faded away. We faded away. She got mad because I ended up with my my ex-wife, my second wife, and we never got together. You know, I was in Ohio with Albert, unfortunately, and anyway, long time ago, but yeah, that was Mary in the elevator. Hi, Mary, if you're listening.
That actually is something that I did not know from the vault. So that's actually very interesting to hear. Not surprised about Bill. I love Bill, but I can totally see that situation. I mean, it plays out like a film in my head, and I can just see Bill just blocking left and right and the way. Just, what are you doing, pal? Like, you know, you've been happily married, and this is a beautiful woman before me. Can I just see? But no, you know, these guys, they're something else. Oh my gosh, what's going on here?
Hey, lady, you know, it's whole thing. All right, Tony Atlas, number three, and not my favorite. But one of yours. And I see, I thought Tony used to mess with you too. I thought that happened, but maybe I misremember.
No, Tony used to tease you. But the thing with Tony is that's one of my biggest regrets in life, because I didn't become a super fan until after, you know, my time with the VOC Nation and going to all the conventions. And you think about it, like, I've had all this access to him. And I did, you know, we did have a chance to interview him. You brought him on, and even then I was not a fan, so I couldn't really indulge. But I started watching his podcast, and he is, to me,
he has had
a couple.
Everybody's got a podcast.
Oh, every wrestler does. And you know who's surprisingly very interesting is Greg Valentine. We have to talk about that, because you know,
he's got a podcast.
Yeah, well I mean, he's on YouTube.
I got a pee.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a story for him not wanting to be bothered with us when we met him. So he's actually surprisingly very, it's funny how some guys can be dull on the screen, because I always thought he was boring, and you know, just a dull personality, but he actually is a pleasure to listen to. And so you find out that the certain people who you thought were exciting are actually boring, and vice versa, and everything else. But with Tony Atlas, I think he has the most based and real wrestling conversations. I think that he is far more intelligent than he is given credit for. I think because he doesn't speak well, and then I don't know, he has a whole nasal thing going on where it makes the words come out even crazier. You know, I mean, he has to be suffering from something going on. But I think Tony is far more intelligent than he is given credit for, and he also has some of the most amazing matches. He really, in my idea, and this is just a personal opinion, in a lot of ways, he was, for a moment in time, almost like a proto Hulk Hogan. And if you were to watch his match with Hulk Hogan from 1981, Madison Square Garden, that's one of the best wrestling matches of all time anyway. I mean, it is just like two equals going at it. Hogan's the heel, right? But Atlas is wearing yellow. He actually hulks up. Hogan throws him somehow to get into a corner, and Atlas does a shoulder thing. That was his version of like hulking up, right? And he does the cup to the ear. So it's like all of this stuff is going on in the match years prior to where Hogan would capitalize on bringing all of those things, because, you know, all of that, I mean, Tony Atlas was not the originator of any of what I just mentioned, you know, but Hogan was able to bring it all together. But it is weird to see a guy who, in stature, he was not as tall as Hogan, you know, but he was a contender in that realm of the big strong guy. And Tony was fast, and he has the single best drop kick. He has my favorite drop kick, and for a muscle bound guy to be able to leap in the air and do that, the drop kick, the way he does it is impressive. I love his press slams. He actually slammed a pre King Kong Bundy Chris Canyon.
Oh, okay. In a squash match when Bundy was working undercard matches in WWE.
Right, when he had hair. I will actually send you that video, because I actually have that match. It's a rare one, and he actually presses him. And one of the things I like about Tony's press slam is that, and it took me a while to notice, because he doesn't always, like with Hulk Hogan, he doesn't like hold him straight up in the air when he does the gorilla press. But what he does, which most wrestlers don't do, he holds the person in front of him. He doesn't rest the person on his head and then gets his bearings and then lifts them up off his head. He actually holds them in front of him and he lifts them up from that standpoint. And he, I mean, the way he would throw Hulk Hogan, you know, to press him, that, you know, Hogan was bigger back than he had to have been. And he was like 320 or whatever. And he would literally throw him. And it was, it's an impressive sight to see. I think that Tony Atlas in another universe could have been, see, that's the thing. I love the Hulkamania era, so much that I really can't imagine someone else replacing it. And I don't think, you know, I don't really think anybody else could have done what Hogan has done. But maybe if Bob Backlund had a shorter run and Tony had a chance at the title, because he was over everywhere he went, he always was a main eventer. He told you the story about how black guys were regulated. They generally only kept two black guys.
Right.
One would be on top, one would be on the bottom. And so he said that, you know, wherever he went, he would, you know, he was on the top. And if you look at his matches, he really, he wrestled the top people. And he was really over in the WWF and also the WWF. He did have a time, unfortunately, it was, you know, pretty short, with him as the tag team champs with Rocky Johnson, who also is very impressive. Going back and look at those matches, Rocky really blows me away. It's amazing. And you see, you know, you find new wrestlers that you like, and then you start to appreciate them. You're like, man, what could have been? But definitely with Tony Atlas, I could see a championship run between 81 and 83 in some capacity, whether it'd been for a year, half a year, or maybe, you know, two separate times. I firmly believe that. I think that he was over with the fans enough. I think that he had the ring psychology and the physical ability and look to really have done something really good for the WWF. It's just a shame that things derailed. And this is the thing, Bruce. Why I realized I never took the Tony Atlas was because my memories of him were 86 Tony Atlas.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 86 Tony Atlas, I remember I used to watch, you know, I would be watching and I'm like, this guy makes no sense to me. I said, he's built. And I mind you, I'm 6 years old in 1986. So I'm like, he's built, but he loses all the time. And he loses in a stupid way. And so then he also he would wear these flesh colored boots during that time. It's so weird how that used to disgust me. So I used to be like, I hate his boots and he gets beat up all the time, but he's the most muscular guy in, you know, in the whole WWF at the time. But yeah, they regulated him to a jobber. And so those were my strongest memories of him. And that's why I never, you know, took to him. But it wasn't until, and this is the, you know, the beauty of being a Hogan fan, is that through Hogan, I discovered how fantastic Tony Atlas is as a wrestler. And that really, really just changed my fandom. And then, you know, with him, with the you know, with the podcast and, you know, doing the shoot interviews, I think that he has a really good head on his shoulders. He got into a situation not too long ago with Dan Chicken Fighty Marotti, you know, from Boston Wrestling, and that turned into a whole debacle. I mean, it got really ugly and was, you know, but he ended up with, I think, Monty and a Pharaoh. And so, you know, I haven't followed up with him.
Who are all these people you're talking about? I've never heard of any of them.
Well, Dan Marotti was, I guess he ran Boston Wrestling, which was an indie promotion, but he...
Did you say Dan Chicken Fighty Marotti?
That's what the kids call him. I don't know. That's what the kids... That's what the kids called him. And so Dan Chicken Fighty Marotti, he was our age, Bruce. He was a young guy. And
he's a real person.
Yes. And you can go look up Boston Wrestling. He would do shoot interviews with Tony Atlas, which I absolutely loved. Tony Atlas has a couple of name drops. If you watch a Tony Atlas, you just have to wait for him to mention Tommy Wildfire Rich. Oh man, there's a couple of them. Who else? Rufus Freight Train Jones. I forget the guy's name. There's a couple. I have them written down. I have to go back to them. I'm sorry. I didn't have that information in front of me.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Why do you think, so real quick, because we gotta move forward. Yep. Why do you think Tony Atlas didn't get a run like on top? I think a lot of fans would say racism, but you can't, I don't think that's fair because WWF gave the title to Pedro Morales. Like they had ethnic champions back in the 70s. So Tony sure could have been in that mix as a minority. Why do you think he never got the run?
Well, he mentions that. I think it was a combination of factors, and I really don't think racism was one of them. I do believe that when he talks about what he and Vince would discuss and some of the things that Vince promised him, or that Vince ideas that Vince had for him, I think that they are true. And because I can see it, you can see the star power in him. And it was just a combination of things. He tells you he screwed it up. He admits to just a lot of things. Hmm. And so it was just like, just he'll always be the big what if, because I do believe, even with, you know, there's always controversy with Vince, I do believe that he is the type that Vince likes, and it is the type that I like.
Likes, in what way?
Physically.
You he, or Vince?
Well, both. I think that we, you know,
I'm I'm using innuendo, and you're not.
I know. I'm all sincere about the whole thing. Well, he looks like, you know, it's like I'm really trying to define the physical look of him.
Yeah.
But you know, but I like that look. People have a problem with that look. They call it the cartoon superhero look, which I'm sick of. But no, there's a place for all types in wrestling. You don't have to be a meat and cheese bar fighter looking guy. There's all types. There's big, small, fat, short, you know, and you know, and Tony Atlas, I think he fits the common idea of, you know, what would be the good guy or the strong guy or the strong good guy. And he definitely has that look. And back then he was not too bad on the mic. I mean, they could have, you know, sent him to a few speech classes. I need a refresher course, as you can see. But they just flow. Is that a Philly accent? I have to really look into that. But yeah, Tony Atlas is tops for me. I would recommend watching both his matches with him versus Hulk Hogan. He has spent time in Japan. Great matches with Mr. Fuji, the Missing Link. And through him, also, you get to see different territories. One of my favorite Tony Atlas matches is, and it's on YouTube, is him with, I believe it's the Rock and Roll. See, that's what I have to start making sure I get these things up. But I know it's Tony Atlas, I believe, the Rock and Roll Express. And they're going against the Road Warriors and who was their manager? Paul
Ellering.
Yes, Ellering.
But you can't go there, dude, because you're going to end up taking the entire show with half of your list again, and we're never going to get to any other stuff.
I know. I'm just saying, check out that match, because that match is awesome. And it's on YouTube, and just a great match. So on to my number two.
We've got the counters at 20 minutes for the show, by the way. And this guy's only gone through one. Now we did take up like 3 minutes with Mary, but 17 minutes on Tony Atlas. Okay. I got a lot. All right. Number two
is Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant. That's that. So I'm figuring, and I'm going to guess that your top two, well, I know who number one is. I was guessing that it's Andre and this other person. And so Andre is number two and the other person's number one. Andre the Giant. It's like I came into wrestling in 1988. February 5th, 88, coming home from the supermarket, Andre Hogan, the main event, and Andre was a scary dude to me. But Andre was slow and lumbering, and I didn't know the Andre that you watch. And I think that's the beauty of your fandom of Andre the Giant. It's based on the Andre of like the late 70s, early 80s, right?
Right. And I came in just a couple of years before you. And it's funny because one of my strongest and earliest distinct memories is Saturday morning watching the recap of when Bundy came into the match. It was a Andre and Stud match, Canada. Bundy came in, and that's where they supposedly cracked the thing in his chest, you know, with Bundy splashing him, which is a great, yeah, the sternum.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that was a great match. I remember...
Of course, Gorilla Monsoon would say the Caprudi... Protubial, cartubrial, bacillus. I don't know.
Right. And then Roddy would say, yeah, it's funny bone or something like that. Like, but always that, those exchanges, we have to talk about those guys very soon, who were the top commentators, because they're a delight unto themselves. But definitely Andre. I remember my earliest memory is when my mother and my aunt, they introduced me to the WWF. They were all about Hulkamania. And I was like, what in the world is this Hulkamania? And because wrestling, I knew about it, but I did not care about it. And you know, they were talking about Hulk Hogan. Then I heard about Andre the Giant. And he was the second big get for me. And I remember my cousin had a blue book, a blue wrestling book. And it was one of the pictures where Andre's holding up the four women. And I just thought that was the most amazing thing. He had, like, you know, the two women on the shoulders, then he's holding the other two in his arms. And there's a couple of photos of that. And I forget what that wrestling book is, but that was one of my earliest memories. And so
thought it was the four women, but it was the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and...
Yeah, you're right. They all probably weigh the same.
Sorry. I'm gonna get in trouble with a bunch of people, get some hate mail on Twitter at WWHVOC. Keep it coming.
Right. So we can do a deeper retrospective on Andre another time, but Andre was an attraction. I like the big guys. I love the guys that defy you know, the standard for height and weight, and some of the time those matches can be very slow because it's hard for those guys to move. It's just, that's just the nature of it. But when it's done right and effective, it's some of the best stuff. It's nothing like watching a big guy just whack a guy and he goes flying and you believe it. Yeah. And there's, again, there's all different types of matches, and you know, sometimes the big man match can go very dry, very slow. But when they're done right, they're done right. And to see some of the best of Andre, his last great year, in my opinion, is 1983. And there are a few shots in 1984. But if you want to see what Andre could do at the tail end, in his steel cage match at Philadelphia Spectrum with Big John Studd, he jumped off the top rope and did the big splash.
Andre did.
Off the top rope in the state of steel cage, and he did the big splash off the top rope. It's impressive to see. And Kamala, when we interviewed him, he did it to Kamala in 84. And
we do real good to be a young man.
Mm-hmm. But if you probably don't remember, but I had asked him about that. I said, you know, what was that like? He just said, he just, you know, you just hold your breath and hope that he doesn't kill you. And I believe that's what he said. I'm paraphrasing.
He hated Andre the Giant. Called Andre a bitter racist.
Yeah. And I think they did squash it eventually. I believe they squashed eventually. But Andre.
Well, no, he came on our show. This is, I mean, we did the show long after Andre died. 2010? And on Kamala. You can actually still get that in the archives. Just look up VOC Nation Kamala on on Google, and you'll see that. That's on YouTube somewhere. But yeah, Kamala had a lot of not nice things to say about Andre the Giant.
Yeah, he used to carry a gun into the ring to face against Andre. But they had some really great matches, and Andre was generous with Kamala in selling, and he actually let Kamala slam him. Kamala has actually one of the best slams on Andre. You can find that on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. But to see the last bit of what Andre had to give as a wrestler, I would go to 83 steel cage match, Philadelphia Spectrum with Big John Studd, Andre off the top rope. Obviously, it had that the cage there for support, but he does come off the top rope for the big splash on Studd's chest. He does the same thing the following year, I believe it's 84, with Kamala, and that's in Canada. And I do believe there's one more match where he does that. I have to go back and check, but those are some of the great things. And I even love Big Slow Andre up until the end before it just got to be, you know, too bad and sad. And little trivia, Bruce, before we shoot off to number one, did you know that Andre the Giant as a wrestler overlaps with Yokozuna?
Wow. I did know that. Just barely, because Andre was still around in 94. He was doing house shows and coming. He was on the crutches, right? He was on the metal crutches.
Yeah, that was, I don't think, that wasn't 94, but Andre, and maybe I should clarify, before he was Yokozuna as a wrestler, he overlapped with Andre, and there is a match with Yokozuna. He wasn't called Yokozuna then, but with Yokozuna and Andre the Giant. Andre's in poor shape, is where he's wearing the, I think, the red singlet, and he looks terrible. But it is amazing to see, because if you think about it, outside of the Big Show, the last really big guy that had a major impact on the business was Yokozuna.
Yeah, that's
and to think that he was in a match, because we don't consider that the same time period as Andre, right? That's the new generation period.
Was he wrestling Yokozuna, or was he still, I forget what they called him, Kokomo or something?
He was Kokomo.
Okay.
But yeah, so this was right before he became Yokozuna, but the fact that he had a match,
it was one of those things. You know why I zoned out for a minute? Because I was looking, I wanted to tell the people how to find this Kamala interview on YouTube. Right. And I Googled it. I Googled Kamala VOC Nation. It's actually on IMDb as well.
Get out of here.
It's an IMDb page. It says VOC Nation Vault. Kamala talks about racism and wrestling, working with Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and more. And the link is on IMDb and IMDb Pro. So that's how big we were back in the day, people.
Hey, we made ESPN with that one. That was a big one. Because remember that for some reason, he told the same story he told all the time. But for some reason, it made like news.
I'm a marketeer. I knew how to put it out there.
You did it, because that, I was surprised that had made national news. But I'm going to wrap this up, because we'll do a whole Hulk Hogan retrospective, but he's my number one. Everybody knows it. Come on, guys, listen, he's the greatest wrestler of all time. He's the most entertaining wrestler. He is not boring. He's the best. There is a reason why the business changed underneath him. What can you say about this man? He is the best. He had the best feuds with people. He elevated everybody around him. He elevated the business. There is none better than Hulk Hogan. I thought
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be was Bret Hart.
Yeah, he in his own mind, and he's out of it.
you say he elevated people, but there's a lot of people that say that Hulk Hogan destroyed people. He would never put people over, blah, blah, blah. Why do you think that's different?
That's ridiculous, because number one, he had the success that warranted him going over most of the time, which technically he actually didn't, because, you know, they would have the false finishes like the DQs and stuff like that, or, you know, he'd lose some kind of way, you know. But him being champion is where the business was. People have to understand that in the 80s, that's what we wanted. We didn't mind having Hulk Hogan 2, 3, 4 years down the line as champion. People were fine with that. But the WWF was smart enough to change that up. But you think about wrestling as a whole, Bruce, and you have to look at the industry. And that's what we'll talk about when we do the retrospective. But Jake the Snake had a videotape out in the 80s. He had his own posters. He was in the WrestleFest video game. The British Bulldogs had their own videotape. They have toys, some of the first wrestling toys, major marketed wrestling toys. The list goes down the line. Terry Funk appeared. We know wrestlers could have appeared in movies, you know, independent of Hulk Hogan. And, you know, Andre did a lot of TV prior to Hulk Hogan in the 70s. You know, he was on $6 Million Man. He played Bigfoot, which is really great. They did a figure of that, which I do own. But the things exploded differently for everybody when Hulk Hogan came on the scene, because Terry Funk was in a movie in the 80s. Jesse Ventura started getting calls, and we know Jesse's career. I mean, Roddy started doing movies. Roddy did the first wrestling movie. Yeah. Him and
Roddy Slam.
Yeah, 1986. That was even before No Holds Barred.
Yep.
You know, so he elevated everybody. You know, with them doing the Rock and Connection, you look at all the wrestlers that appeared in cartoons. I mean, you know, Nikolai Volkoff is in a cartoon. The Iron Sheik is in a cartoon. And when you consider, when we do the review in retrospective, when we talk about what it meant to have a huge, long-lasting presence on a shelf for 80s kids' attention, it's unreal that the WWF lasted and thrived the way it did. And it is centrally, you know, and solely responsible due to Hulk Hogan, that success. And I don't know if I said that correctly. It all sounded pretty jumbled, but it's primarily due to Hulk Hogan. And we can discuss Hogan and Vince, because that combination is what made it happen. And no man is a, you know, a star unto himself. It took a lot of people, and the product was great, but having more eyes gave people more eyes on the undercard as well, because people watched the whole thing and they found people that they liked as well. You know, my mother, it's funny because looking back, she was in some ways ahead of the curve. She was a Hogan fan, but she really liked Macho and she really liked Bret Hart, and both of them have really big dedicated fandoms today. But, you know, my mother started out as a Hulkamaniac. He was the attraction to get her into wrestling. And then from there, she grew to, you know, find other wrestlers that she liked, even though Hulk was always the man. And it was like that for everybody. And it, you know, Saturday night's main event, you know, he wasn't up there wrestling himself. There were other people on the cards, you know. So when 8 or 10 million people were tuning in, you know, for Hulk Hogan, they also got to watch a bunch of other people. So Hogan is always going to be my number one. I find his matches and his feuds unbelievably entertaining. Not all of them. I don't like everything. I mean, there are some signature things that, you know, one of the things we have to talk about that actually I do not like, and I mean, it gets under my skin. I love when he does the ear thing. Like, I love it. You go to each side of the ring and put your ear up and the crowd goes nuts. I love it. But I hate it when he started doing it, and I hate it to this day, when he would stand right in the center and go around in a circle really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I hated that. You know, so I'm not a, and there's a bunch of other stuff that I don't like. We can talk about some of the WCW days, you know, when they were fighting in that two-tiered steel cage. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, so I don't like everything, but there still is between Hogan and my number two, which is Andre, there's a deep, wide chasm. It's big, wide, and deep. And I love Hulk Hogan for everything.
Big, wide, and deep. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
All right. So yeah, that wrapping up. That's my top five: Macho, Heenan, Atlas, Andre, Hogan.
Boom. It's funny working with you, and for people that have never done this before, or you never done radio of any kind. It working with you is such a challenge, because I sat, you know, I timed the show. I sit here and I write notes and I try to pace it out. I try to understand where I'm going to put commercials in, because I post-produced the show afterwards.
Right.
And I wrote down like 33 minutes, because we're at about 35 minutes now. And I wrote down 33 thinking that you were going to wrap this up. You were heading towards a closure on Hogan. So I wrote down 33 ready to put the seconds down. I'm like, I'll put a commercial right after he's done with Hogan. And then you just kept going. And if you notice, I just got silent because I was just waiting for the spot to pause. And I had to just throw a line in there. And then that got you off. That's why we're supposed to work together.
Very passionate, brother.
There we go, brother. Okay. So running that down, it's Macho Man Randy Savage, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Tony Atlas, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, right?
You got it.
All right. So my list, and this is why mine's not going to take that long. I have some of these people on the list, but mine is, I think, a little bit more. I'm a man of all generations. I'm well-rounded.
Let's hear this.
All right. Number five, and we'll talk more about this next week on the next show, but number five was just recently returned to the WWE on SmackDown. Was it on SmackDown? No, it was on Raw. He interrupted Jinder Mahal, former WWE champion. And by the way, did you see this feud? Tony Khan from AEW is fighting with the world over Jinder Mahal having a WWF championship match, WWE championship match.
I have heard about it, but I've not followed it.
He's upset that like he had a title match with this guy, Hook, who's Taz's son. And everybody's like making fun of the fact that this kid who looks like he's 160 pounds is getting a world title shot. And then Tony's like, well, why aren't you making fun of Jinder Mahal, who hasn't won a match in a year?
Okay, so you caught me up to speed, and now I'm remembering. Well, that's the thing. From AEW, is everything wrong in wrestling today? I remember when they
choreographed dance,
Bruce. It's disgusting. I mean, it is really disgusting. I remember hearing about AEW. They popped up. I'm like, oh, good. Competition is good. Yeah. You know, this will, you know, break from the norm. And I could not believe it was WWE on steroids, though. It was more over the top than WWE. Everybody in every match was flipping and flopping, and I was disgusted. And I have not
storylines. Like, that's what it is. It's all just like, oh, this person's going to be in a match with this person. And it's like they just flip around the ring, and like the fans don't even care who wins. They just like the flips.
It's nonsense. And that's why wrestling is in the crapper. And from what I hear, and I don't know, I'm just saying, I hear the AEW is struggling now.
And yeah, they are. They came on with a bang because people were tired of, like, the Vince McMahon WWE was getting tiresome.
Right.
And they needed the competition, I think, to create some, like, now you have people jumping back and forth. It's kind of like the old days, and the golden age is coming back. And you see WWE's product has elevated so high in the last couple of years with Triple H in charge and Cody coming back. Like, there's an air of competition, and I think that has elevated the game. But I used to watch AEW. Ken Resnick and I used to talk about it every week here on Wrestling with History years ago, but I can't stand it. I mean, it was supposed to be a realistic product, you know, more NWA style. And it's just terrible. It's like New Japan without Japanese guys.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I heard that it was going to be a return to form, and all I saw was nonsense. And I, to be honest with you, it looked like an extreme version of the WWE, which I already did not like at the time. I thought the WWE is too extreme. And I mean, it still is. I saw a clip the other day where some guy bench pressed another wrestler with one hand. And I'm like, it doesn't even mean anything anymore. They've completely ruined any, the weight of a spot or doing something amazing, because they've all just have overexploited it. Like, and so, yeah. And so, but getting back, CM Punk is.
No, it's The Rock.
Wait a minute. Who?
Number five is The Rock. He came back on Raw. Come on, you're the wrong guy. And we never got to the person. I went down the Tony Khan, Jinder Mahal route, and I never got there.
When you said return, I'm thinking CM Punk.
Okay, the latest return was The Rock, who, remember, he came back and he asked the fans whether he should sit in a booth at the restaurant or at the head of the table. And obviously, Namar, that's leading towards a match at WrestleMania. But we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. But The Rock is my number five. And I think...
Tell me why, though.
That, well, you know, you'll see the rest of my list. I think that The Rock is a generational talent. He could be number two or number one. I think he's one of the biggest stars of all time. The biggest stars, period. If you look at his movie career, he's by far the biggest box office star as a wrestler ever. Right. And he's one of the biggest box office stars of our lifetime. I think he is what you think about. He's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold was the Rock of the 80s, you know? So I just feel like he has the it factor. He can control the audience better than almost anybody on the microphone. And just an entertaining person. And I always enjoyed him, except for that period of time when Hogan came back and they were working so hard to put The Rock over Hogan. This is back in WrestleMania 18. You remember that?
Right.
And people started to boo The Rock because they were so happy Hulk Hogan had come back to the WWE.
Right. Yeah. That was a big controversial thing. We have to discuss that again at a later date because you watched that live, right?
Back in that time period?
Right. You watched Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't see it live. So you would have, I heard about it and knew what to expect. So even though you weren't there, you watched it live. So I'll have to pick your brain on what that was like. And you have to, you know, probably try to pull up the recesses, you know, of memories that have been logged far away so that, you know, to really tell me, because I'm curious to really feel what it was like to have watched that go down live. But The Rock, and this is what I'll give you, The Rock is definitely, in terms of movie and celebrity, he is the most famous wrestler turned movie actor, that's for sure. And I absolutely enjoy The Rock movies. Actually, I like him as an actor more than I did as a wrestler. I love Black Adam. I think that's a masterpiece. I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, hopefully one day I'll be able to discuss it. I love that movie. He has a couple of movies that I've really enjoyed. And The Rock is great, man. He really is a talent. He really is. I mean, like you said, he can hold the audience. And he's one of the funniest guys on the mic, too. Like you said.
That's right.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513 RC declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So, Rock number five on my list.
Yes.
Okay. The number four is also just made a recent return to the WWE. And this person, I don't know why I have. I think, like, for me, I used to say I'm a huge sports fan. And part of the reason I became a sports fan was because of the announcers. You know, Phillies fan, I was loved Harry Callis. I love the announcers now, Scott Fransky, not Tom McCarthy a little bit, but Merrill Reese for the Eagles, even though he sued me at one point in my life.
Didn't know that either.
You did. We were at the station when I had my final show on that station.
And Merrill Reese sued you because of that?
He owned that station. Yeah, it was it's a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I better. We better move on. But we ended up at WNJC and we had a great, great time, and for at least a couple of years. But anyway, so those were the reasons. I often wondered when I was an adult if I liked sports as much as I just liked the announcing. That was the thing. And with wrestling, I think it's the same thing, but only entrances and theme music. Mm. And I think that there's so many wrestlers that if you put, like Hulk Hogan, if Hulk Hogan came out to a generic theme song, I don't think it would have the impact. I think Eye of the Tiger and then Real American were part of the show. Like that did it. I mean, his look and feel were one thing, but I think the theme music made part of that. And with this guy, CM Punk, cult of personality. Remember CM Punk, when he first started in WWE's version of ECW, and then he did the thing with the Straight Edge Society, he had generic theme music, and it was, I mean, he just was a mid-card wrestler to me, was just another guy. When he did that pipe bomb interview, you know, the quote-unquote shoot in the middle of the ramp, and he used Cult of Personality, everything changed. And I think when that music hits, that place explodes, like almost like Hogan. I mean, it's powerful. Did you see when he came back at Survivor Series? Did you see that clip?
No, surprisingly, I have not taken the time to go look at it, and I will definitely do so. But you're right, Bruce, and I have to co-sign, because that was when I had actually met CM Punk. I forget what event I went to, and he was a low-card guy. I didn't even know who he was, but the guy that I was friends with at the time, he knew him, and he wanted a picture with him. So I actually got a picture with CM Punk, and I remember they were Lashley was there.
Was that the show that we all went to after one of the – we went to an indie show in Philadelphia. Was that one of the shows that we got invited to?
No, this was an official WWE show.
Oh, WWE, okay.
Yeah, this was before we were doing the show.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So that was my introduction to Punk. But when we were doing the show was his rise to fame. So yeah. I got to live that. And he was, I remember he sucked me in just as well. I remember being excited for him. At the time, he was my favorite wrestler. I think I liked him and Dolph Ziggler. And there were a couple of other ones, but he definitely stood out. He was a favorite, and I enjoyed his matches. So I think CM Punk is definitely one of the best. I know a lot of people think he's a crybaby and a lot of other things, but he still is pretty tops for me. And like you said, he is from an era that was really enjoyable for us. Watching the matches, that was a nice boom in wrestling at that time.
That's right. Okay. All right. CM Punk, number four on my list. We'll talk a lot more about him in the next show when we run down the two returns. And I think we'll have some fun next week on Wrestling with History. Remember, stay up to date with all of Wrestling with History's going ons. Go follow us on X, Twitter at WWHVOC. WWHVOC. You can also go to VOCNation.com and you'll see all of the VOC Nation programming, including all of ours. You can go back in the archives and hear the old shows with Ken Resnick and Bill Apter. If you've tuned in because you saw on Twitter, you still see their faces on the graphic and you're hoping to hear Ken or Bill, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. Not because they're not here, but I feel bad for you. I'm just kidding. I love Ken. You get it?
It was hard not to.
Okay. We're going to move on here. Number three. And again, theme music. When he was the ringmaster, it was just another guy. When that glass breaking happened, Stone Cold Steve Austin tore up the wrestling world. And you can say whatever you want. You know, WCW gave up on this guy. But if you put like anybody in that black trunks, black boots, you know, you gave him that personality or the character to play. And listen, no doubt that is Steve Austin amplified, right? It's his personality turned up the dial. But I think if Vince created that character, or WWE created that character with the combination of the music and the attitude, and Steve Austin did an amazing job playing that out. But I think that Austin would not have been who he was in WCW.
Absolutely not.
The machine. Yep.
And to be honest with you, he definitely is on the number two of the Mount Rushmore. There's no denying it. And I think that one of the things when you talk about Austin, like you said, the whole thing, the show is the glass breaks. He comes out with an attitude, and no matter how rough and gruff he is, you're going to get an entertaining show, and you are going to laugh, and you're going to cheer, and he will always give it to you. His comedy, I think, Bruce, is we don't do people talk about his comedy enough?
No, I think it's more about the badass part of it, but the comedy, yeah, he's funny. I mean, the whole what thing that he did for a while. Yeah, he's great. And did you watch, I know you don't watch the new stuff, but did you watch WrestleMania in Dallas when he wrestled Kevin Owens a couple years ago?
Absolutely not.
He came back. He did a whole comeback, and he actually wrestled Kevin Owens. It wasn't supposed to be a match, but it was a match. And then he wrestled Vince one more time, 75-year-old Vince McMahon. It was great. It was the swan song for both of them.
Well, you know, I do hear through the grapevine whenever one of the Attitude Era oldies pops up, and we're living it now with The Rock at WrestleMania. He's going to get programmed right in, and you know, didn't you see The Rock when he came back versus John Cena? Didn't you attend that WrestleMania?
I did we did the whole promo, remember, at WJC. Right. We took Malcolm Watson to WrestleMania.
Right. So
Albert and I, Sassy Steffi.
Yeah, see, I thought they were, you know, that would have been the last ride, but apparently it was not. But with Stone Cold, Bruce, the comedy, one of the things that's circulating on social media now is a clip of him where he stuns Sergeant Slaughter, and Vince is in the ring. The crowd is just going nuts, and then he starts doing push-ups and sit-ups, and it's the funniest, most insane thing you've ever seen in your life. And it just, and you just, there's no, Austin is hands down, Bruce, the number two guy. You cannot deny it. You cannot change it. In terms of popularity as a wrestler, see, The Rock, while he's a contender, The Rock is a bigger movie star than he is a bigger wrestling star. Stone Cold is a bigger wrestling star, and he definitely is the number two. And he really just, and that's one of my biggest regrets, is that I did not watch enough of the Attitude Era. I used to, because I have a lot of old tapes, but I really faded out long before I should have. And I see clips and stuff, and I'm just thinking, like, man, I really missed a lot more Austin than I realized. And it actually is a daunting task to think about trying to go back and trying to watch some of the angles and stuff that I missed, because wrestling is 24/7, 365, well, not 24/7, but you know, it's yearly.
It's always
and,
on.
Right. So it's hard to go back into, unless you really know what you're looking for, but it's hard to go back, especially with weekly programming. But yeah, Austin, definitely number two, great pick.
So, and he's not my number three. You're number two of all time. Right. I know what you're saying. Not my number
right.
three. You mentioned Sergeant Slaughter. And how about Sergeant Slaughter made a whole career out of mimicking the Bill Apter comb over? But Sergeant Slaughter had that bald head and comb over since he was probably like 25 years old.
Absolutely.
So number three.
He looked like a middle-aged man in 84.
He did. Well, John Tenta was like that too. Earthquake. You know, when Earthquake came on the scene in the 1989, I think it was 89 or 90, he was 25 or 26 years old. He looked like he was 40.
He did. Both of those men were eternally old. Nice. Great athletes. But yeah, Sarge, when you look back at those 83, 84 Sergeant Slaughter matches, and you're just like, wow, dude, you have always looked like you were nearing retirement. He was probably in the prime of his life.
So my final two, and this is not hard at all, two of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Number two, Don Morocco. Number one, Cowboy Bob Orton.
That's what I'm talking about.
Number two, Honky Tonk Man. Number one, Jimmy Hart.
Hey, baby, it's all good, buddy.
Shake, rattle, and roll, y'all.
No, number two, I'll say them both together because, you know, we were supposed to record two episodes tonight, and of course we get to one because we spent 25 minutes on Tony Atlas. But 25 minutes on Tony Atlas, The Rock gets 3 minutes and 40 seconds. I don't understand it. Number two and number one. Number two, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes.
Number one, Hulk Hogan. And we've talked about this last week and some this week. I think mostly last week. But I think they both deserve near equal footing because I used to say this on the radio all the time. I don't believe that Hulk Hogan would be the star that he is without the antagonist that Bobby the Brain Heenan was. And if you look at all of the antagonists out there, and we love Jimmy Hart, and Jimmy is Hulk Hogan's best buddy too, again.
Right.
But Bobby, when they wanted to get somebody over to go up against Hogan, they always used Heenan. And the example is, the biggest example is 86, WrestleMania 2, in the height of the popularity, they took away Jimmy Hart from King Kong Bundy and they gave him to Heenan.
Right. Well, listen, you can't deny how masterful Heenan was and everything he did for wrestling. Yeah. He really was a great worker. If work rate is your interest when he was a wrestler, he is unmatched on commentating. He's hilarious. And he's he is the best manager. What can you say about him? The man, he is number one in terms of wrestling managers. You get no better than Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Did you see, I believe this is still on YouTube. Somebody took out they just took out Bobby Heenan where he's ragging on the Hart family. So there was some pay-per-view event where Stu was there with the wife and Bret and Owen and a couple of the other brothers, Bruce and, you know, all of those guys. And Bobby Heenan is doing commentating. And Bruce, he just never lets up. And every joke is funnier than the last joke. I mean, he rips into Stu and his wife. I mean, it is hilarious. Bobby Heenan is, what can you say, man? What can you honestly even say? He's the best.
We used to run a little bit. And I've always been a Hogan fan. You know, I still, to this day, I heard they're going to do possibly on Raw or SmackDown the anniversary of Hogan winning the title in 1984, right? January of 84. Yep. January 23rd, 1984. I heard that they're going to do that. Bobby Heenan is just amazing. So we used to do this bit on the radio where I would always say, you know, Bobby Heenan was better than Hulk Hogan. And I would ask our guests and you and I had some fun with that. I never told you that I you probably knew, but of course I was more of a Hogan fan, but Bobby Heenan, I like Bobby Heenan even more now. I liked him back then, but you appreciate how good he really was at getting people over, and he could get anybody over. They put Brooklyn Brawler with him. They put Steve Lombardi with him. Terry Taylor. Yeah. But did you ever hear the story about Terry Taylor saying that he was supposed to be Mr. Perfect?
No.
Yeah. He said, and this is Bruce Pritchard on Something to Wrestle jokes about, and Connie, they joke about this box of gimmicks. And Terry Taylor said there's like a box of gimmicks. And, you know, he was supposed to get the Mr. Perfect gimmick and not the Red Rooster gimmick. And he would have been like this huge star. And Kurt Hennig got it instead. And Bruce Pritchard says that's not true. And he has not very many good things to say about Terry Taylor. But,
you know, Terry Taylor is an amazing character in wrestling lore because he is a very talented work rate guy. I mean, he can wrestle, but there's something missing from his persona. and that just doesn't get over with people. And he had one of the worst gimmicks, which was the Red Rooster. I mean, that's absurd. But talk about a survivor.
Yeah.
And how he's managed to stay in wrestling from a management standpoint.
Yeah. He's that turd that doesn't go down, stays on the top of the bowl.
Oh, you're vicious.
I'm just kidding. I don't even know. I don't
but, know. You know, but you say, you say, hold on, but you say Hogan is your number one, but you can't, I don't believe that. I do not believe that sincerely. I think you say that out of your childhood feelings, but I can't or point to anything that would lead me to believe that. Like, how would you convince me, who knows you, that Hogan is your number one?
You know, the thing that I, if I were you, and I showed you these matches I used to make when I was a kid,
right?
I used to be a matchmaker, and I would use my wrestling toys. And you said you didn't recognize some of the names on the sheet because I renamed the people that I didn't like to play with. And I renamed Hulk Hogan Mike Timberland. I don't know why that was his name, though. And he was the champion, but he was Mike Timberland. Another story for another day.
So, yeah, I don't think you're really, like, we know I'm a diehard Hogan fan, but I don't think you are a diehard Hogan fan. I don't think he really is your number one.
All right, we'll debate that a different time. Wrestling with History, follow us on X at WWHVOC. Follow VOC Nation at VOC Nation. And make sure you give us a 5-star rating. Review us. Just this show. Like, don't judge VOC Nation on the other stuff that's on there. Brady, I'm just kidding. Brady does a good job with his show. We like everybody. But don't judge. Just judge it on us, okay? If you don't like anything else, just give us a 5-star if you like what we bring to the table, okay? All right. That's it, Namar. Anything else? Most of the time I'm joking, right? Except for Bill. Most of the time I'm joking. But you know, I get myself in trouble, and then I end up in hot water with people. I don't want to fight with Brady again. I fought with Brady for like 5 years of my life. He's a friend.
Yes.
Follow VOC Nation on Twitter. Like us, subscribe, whatever the heck it is, on iTunes and Spotify. And Namar and I will see you next week when we talk about, 4 weeks later, we'll talk about the returns of CM Punk and The Rock worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Bye, Namar.
See ya.